Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on the Score.
If that's not a promo, I don't know what is.
Kevin Warren is the team president. This is a Bears team that has been around forever, right, since 1920. But they're trying to hit the reset button in some ways and do Hard Knocks and get themselves out there, get that new stadium built, they hope, on the lakefront in Chicago, and build around guys like Caleb Williams and Romo Odunze, their top 10 picks. On the offensive side, it's long been a defense-first franchise.
It's Mike Tirico talking on NBC about the Bears and organizationally where things stand. This is Spiegel and Holmes Show, by the way. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We are here tonight until 5:45. That's because the Bulls start their preseason action here on the Score.
But
Chuck, you better get to Indy right now. If you didn't know, you still got time.
That means Alyssa Bergamini's in here, right?
But, yeah.
Yes, she is, Chuck.
5:45. We will have it for you on
Alyssa
the Score.
Alyssa Bergamini with that giant rock on her left hand.
Oh, Rick, congratulations.
Giant rock on her left hand and being able to sit in for Gene Honda.
Dude, that's an all-timer.
So cool.
Seriously.
Shane, would that be on your list?
To sit in for Gene? I don't smoke enough, I don't think, to sit in for Gene.
You do not.
It's the PA man at the White Sox games and the Blackhawks games as well, Gene Honda.
Right behind John Hansen.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to John Hansen. John, man, that dude is
grinder.
You better believe it, man. He's so good, too. He can do everything, whether we're talking about news or weather. He's a great follow if you want to follow, like, how sunshine is going to work in Chicago. Like, if you're one of those people who's like, wait, is this one of those days where the days are getting shorter, but the sunlight is... He will walk you through.
Oh, no, really?
Yes.
I need that.
Yeah.
Because I'm married to a woman who desperately feeds off the sun. Like, the existence of the sun is vital to her. I mean, to all of us, I think it is. I think I speak for everybody.
For the whole planet, actually.
It's important.
It's very important to keep the planet warm.
But her psyche, she needs that, you know?
Follow John Hansen.
All right, I will.
You'll get Blackhawk stuff, and you'll get all of that cool, like, weather stuff, too.
Sounds like a win. Lawrence, you heard... right there in the cut, the talk of Kevin Warren wanting a new stadium on the lakefront. You were at the Bears game last week. I was at the Bears game this week. It seems like an opportune moment for you and I to check in on the Soldier Field experience and maybe talk with our listeners about this, because it has been taken for granted that it's time for a new stadium. It sucks to get in and out of Soldier Field, and we know that it does.
It does.
It does.
A new stadium on the lakefront is not going to change that, though.
No, that's true. But I got to say this, that every time Soldier Field comes up, and has come up for me in conversation, it gets denigrated. And I've been a big part of that, because I've talked about how awful it is to get in and out of, how brutal that experience can be, and just how they botched so terribly the renovation, because they did. They put, it looks like a spaceship that's put on top. It's aesthetically displeasing.
And they're still paying for that renovation.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. And we're still paying for that renovation.
Yes. They botched it. They're still paying. They lost their landmark status in the process. And they didn't put enough seats in to potentially host a Super Bowl.
Still 61-5, which I believe makes them number two fewest fans in the NFL.
So every way that you could botch that, they pretty much did. So, like, the idea of a new stadium on a lot of levels is a no-brainer. And I've certainly been a part of those conversations. Then you go deeper and you're like, well, what are they asking for and what are they going to get? And there's all the money and there's everything like that. But I got to say this, and I've certainly had good experiences there for Chicago Fire games. I've had good experiences there for concerts. I hadn't been for a regular season Bears game in a long, long time. I want to hear what your experience was, because mine, once I got there and walked the lots, and once I got in, an absolutely awesome experience. The sight lines are great. They're still freaking great. The vibe in the stadium, the sound and the feel of the stadium, the closeness of the field to the seats, the proximity, the excitement of the whole damn thing. I was like, wow, man. Because I hammered the logistics of it. And, you know, and the in and the out, and even my out wasn't that bad to get to the footbridge and walk across. But I live in the neighborhood,
yes,
and that's a big factor, I know, because once I'm across the footbridge, I'm basically home, and that is not what other people share. But I had this overwhelming sense of, man, that is still a really good and a really comfortable place to go to a football game. Do they actually need a new stadium or not?
A couple of caveats for this conversation. I'm not as close to Soldier Field as you are, but I'm pretty close.
Damn close. And you walked to the Metra.
Yeah.
You left there, got to the Metra on your home, which is right there underneath the footbridge.
Well, that was the thing. I didn't take the Metra back, and that is one of my complaints.
The line for that Metra is brutal at the end.
I would ask that on game day, the Metra runs more frequently for people who are going back south, because I think the Metra Electric is really perfect. It's what I take to get in here. It's what I take when I don't want to drive downtown. I'll just get off here and then get on the brown line or the red line or wherever it is that I want to go. I find it to be incredibly convenient as someone who lives south but close to the lake. It's a great way to kind of get around. But I did, when I was walking out, and I said to Mai, because I went with Mai Martinez, mm-hmm, of our sister station, WBBM, and she said, hey, I'll drive you home. And I was like, I don't want you to do that. And then we looked at the line. Like, we could see the line as we were walking out of Soldier Field. And I was like, you know what? I will take you up on that, because it's only going to take you from Soldier Field to my house about 7 minutes in a car. The for me, it's, you got to make sure I'm telling her, just get left as quickly as possible as you're going on the ramp,
sure,
because everyone's kind of trying to go to 55.
We're Chicagoans with proximity knowledge and life hacks.
Correct. So I want that on the record kind of before we...
And that's a big deal when we're talking about a statewide fandom.
Yes.
With the access to it.
When the Bears had announced that they were looking to go to Arlington Heights, it didn't bother me. Even as someone who benefited working at Soldier Field, like, I always thought of game day as my revenge on the rest of the beat. Because the rest of the beat, they lived up north. And so them going to Hallis Hall every day, you know, JD and I would talk about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was right there in Buffalo Grove. So he'd come down Town Line Road. It was 15 minutes from his house. But on game day, that's when I get my revenge.
You're right.
Sure, I'm in traffic for most of the week covering the Bears. But on Sunday, when I'm done, and I'm home pretty quick.
So do you think that my myopic view of the experience as a close fan tilts it a little too far in terms of, like, what feels like an evolution of feelings, frankly, from what a great time that I had?
No, I actually think that your point of view is actually better than mine. And the reason why, Spiegs, is because the interaction that you're having to get from Soldier Field back to your house, I think, is really instructive on what the fan experience is like, because you're running into people who are crossing the 18th Street Bridge so that they can get back north. So they can commute, whether they're jumping on the Green Line or whatever.
And they're going south to go north, which feels intuitively incorrect.
Right. And then you've got the people who will walk the lakefront to get back to parking in our building here at Prudential Plaza. I was okay with them doing this and saying they want to go to Arlington Heights.
Well, it's a no-brainer financially and logistically for them.
And my feelings as a Chicagoan aren't hurt either by it. I get that it's stressful for a lot of people to get to Soldier Field, but I've also been trying to warn people, even in Arlington Heights, it's going to be stressful. And I'm not sure that the infrastructure is really there. Like, on game day, if you've ever gone and done game day at any other venue, and I've been to pretty much all of them in the NFL, try getting out of Foxborough.
Oh, it's brutal.
It's one way in and one way out.
Yeah.
Santa Clara is a nightmare for people to get in and out of. So in that way, Soldier Field is not that different from the rest of the NFL.
Speaks, didn't you have to walk to Vegas?
Exactly.
With the limpers?
Dude, the Vegas stadium, the brand new stadium where we went to Bears Raiders a couple years ago on one of those Circa trips. Shout out to Circa, by the way. See you soon.
See you in Circa soon, baby. We back, baby. We back.
We back.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's Montez.
Can you imagine? Granny goes to Vegas? What would happen there? But yeah, no, that was a crazy long walk, and there were limpers. There absolutely were, and eventually I was one of them. It was a long walk out of Soldier too to do that, but it felt more manageable. I think because it was a blowout and people left early, and then I, you know, wasn't that many of us at the end.
But here's what surprised me about going: I was expecting there to be it being a more difficult time for me to get in than get out. And I found getting into Soldier Field to be pleasant. Like, not just efficient, pleasant. The train to 218th Street, taking the Metro 218th, getting off there. And I get it. Like, if you live south on the lakefront, that's the way to go. Or if you're in the south suburbs, you're in Richland Park or Homewood or Flossmoor, you can just jump on that train and it takes you all the way there, right? Getting out, I was not ready for. Because I'm used to leaving two and a half, maybe 3 hours after a game on a media pass.
Completely manageable situation.
Pretty manageable. Walking out, and that was the biggest mistake that I made. I didn't trust my gut. My gut said that Maya and I should have just sat there for about a half an hour and let things clear out first. But when we left, I was like, man, not getting out of the Soldier Field parking lot, that was actually pretty easy too, the Waldron deck. Getting out of the building was more difficult than I had imagined.
Yeah, and it wasn't for me because of the crowd having left early. There's a lot of things that are resonating as a fan experience that don't fit the logistical and financial needs. Like a texture says, a speak sight lines and vibes do not pay the bills. And obviously they are trying to either own their own place, or even if they build a new one on the lakefront and they rent their own place, they still would set it up in a way that they'd have revenue streams that they don't have. Because Soldier Field opened in 2003, even in the 21 years, there are outdated, outmoded things that will increase the revenue streams for them. But this is why I think it does ring so hollow, though, for a lot of people, and it will ring kind of newly hollow for me. When he's selling you a better fan experience, it's actually a pretty darn good fan experience in a lot of ways that they've tried to denigrate. Granted, it is way harder for a driver and a driver from the burbs to come to the city and battle with all the parking if you don't have the proximity knowledge and the life hacks especially. But there are ways to do it. And in terms of a city dweller, it's pretty effing easy.
And it was so funny, too, because what you're talking about, when Mai and I were making the decision on whether or not I was going to wait for the Metra or she was going to drive me back to Hyde Park, I said, you know what I'll do? I was like, you know what? I don't want you to drive. I'll walk across 18th. I'll jump on the green line and I'll make it back home. Or I'll get an Uber from over by Wintrust or whatever. And I was like, it was a perfect day. So walking wasn't really a big issue. But I had a great time. Like, you're right. Like, the sight lines there and my seats were epic. Look, my seats were the perfect seats. 300 level, 45, north 45 yard line. Those are epic seats. I saw everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw Angel Reese get approached by Richard Dent and then have Richard Dent's wife drag him away.
Did she miss
here.
A layup when she was over there and grab her own offensive rebounds?
Wow.
It's a little bad in the stats. No, but Shane, you should have seen Richard Dent's wife. Like, okay, that's enough talking to Angel Reese.
That's called boxing out.
She's a pretty girl.
That's called boxing out.
It was boxing out.
So
but then Richard bounced off her and came back to Angel.
Little screen roll action.
Angel got the rebound.
See,
got it.
It worked. It works really well.
Yep. Picked it up.
So overall, it's 1 week of someone who usually uses Soldier Field in a very different way.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is fine. Like, especially with my knowledge of other venues to go to.
Sure.
It was fine.
You know what it did? It made me want to revisit the Bill Curtis voiced Soldier Field dreamscape video that Lori put together, that the mayor put together, because the added infrastructure of more trains and more CTA and the over-the-air gondolas and all that silly stuff that we laughed
at. Unlike other cities, we don't walk away from our most storied and iconic assets. We build on our history.
Uh-huh. That's right, Bill.
Here's the solution.
But hold on this, Shane, because like a texter's saying, I can't get there when I'm driving, but if I took the BNSF train in and then I took a bus, it's totally easy. Like, yeah. So we need the over-the-air gondolas.
Yes, definitely. That helps. But here's another solution.
Although I'm saying over-the-air gondolas, that sounds like radio gondolas. It's in
air. That's how you can watch the Blackhawks game, is the over-the-air
gondolas.
Can
you even watch the Blackhawks game yet? Can you?
Tonight you can. It's on ESPN.
You have to be have an over-the-air gondola. Right.
So here's a solution. Move out of the dumbass suburbs.
Whoa.
Everyone come to the city.
Whoa.
It's a lot easier to get anywhere here.
No, I'm good
Move
on that.
Move to the city.
No.
Well, you live in the city.
Especially in the city.
High Park's a city.
It's easier to get places in the city.
I'm saying I'm good on people moving to the city.
Oh, yeah,
no. Don't.
Stay out.
And our listeners love hearing from someone who doesn't drive about how easy it is to get around the city, by the way. Thank you very much, non-driver.
I do live right in the middle of the city, and so I'm sorry about that. It's very easy for... I'm sorry. I meant to say it's easy for me to get everywhere.
Shane,
make six more, blocks that way.
Make more decisions for our listeners. Go ahead.
I will.
That works out well.
Also, stop having so many kids. We don't need more of you.
All right. And tell them about the fillets. You haven't told them in a while.
Fillets sucks. Eat a ribeye.
Okay, but what if they like fillets?
The fat brings more flavor.
Sure it does. But the fillets are so tender.
Yeah, I enjoy a fillet as well. Yeah. But I know what Shane's trying to say there.
He's trying to say is move out of the suburbs.
I don't have an issue with the Bears. Like, it bothered me, and anyone who saw my interview with Brandon Johnson will note, it bothered me that he kept talking about like the Bears going to Arlington Heights as if they were going to the moon. Like, they're not going to the moon. It's like a lot of other NFL stadiums where it's not actually in the city.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, no, of course, most of those stadiums are not. And I think it's 30 out of 32 are renters. You know, it's an alarming amount. And look, I've made the case, and I will continue to fact find on both sides of it and to make the case, because it's logical to go out there, but I understand the Soldier Field perspective more having just lived it.
I can't. It doesn't. There's nothing about. I have not been convinced by anything that the Bears have said that that's the move. My issue still, and I know that there were infrastructural issues that wouldn't really allow it. There was room, Michael Reese. There was room on 87th Street.
Uh-huh.
If they really wanted to be in the city, they could have done it.
Could have done that kind of thing.
Trying to do all of this, like as someone who does live in the city and uses Lakeshore Drive as like the biggest conduit for me to get to work, what they're saying and the construction of whatever the destruction of whatever Soldier Field is going to be, and them putting up a new place, I want no parts of it. Plus, I don't want to make a bad. I don't want the city to make another bad deal.
I have one other idea for you.
Okay,
hear me out. A floating stadium. You put it out there on the water.
Look, you sir are about 5 years behind the times. Me and JJ Stankovitz, we have talked about this. The concept of the football boat. I don't know about this
because all I know is the Dustin Rhodes theory of the floating.
And I know there's going to be people, environmentalists, that are not going to want to hear this.
Screw them.
But could you build a stadium that was in the water?
Football boat, man.
Tell us about football boat.
I've been a proponent of football boat for forever.
We used to stay up late to watch that. Fantasy Island was after it.
Right, and then football boat
was before it.
It's a good show.
Yeah, man, I thought so. I was into
From
Vicky.
The producers of That's Montez. It's football boat.
And I was Julie, the cruise director. Woo, man.
Man, she got it done, huh?
She really did. Then she was in that TV movie about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Don't do the...
That's a fun movie.
Isaac? It is. Don't do the Isaac Lawrence.
Hey, Isaac was out here. He was in these boat streets.
It's just too... It's too hard.
Isaac the bartender.
I don't know why, but that feels racist.
It shouldn't.
I don't know.
Wait, Shane's That's Montez doesn't feel racist to you?
Wait, what's racist about That's Montez?
But here we go. Doing Isaac.
Here we go, Jim.
What is racist about That's Montez?
Oh, yeah, well.
That's news to me.
Oh, you're just now hearing this?
Yes.
Shane, there's
what do I have to change?
There's a lot of people that think your affect is a little borderline.
Who's a lot of people?
I would say look inside the chat and on the text lines.
Oh, I'd never trust any of them.
They're a bunch of suburbanites. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with children.
And eating filet.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I have to change something about the, and if it were me, it's not, but if the person narrating had to change something, then I would let them know.
You're just playing the old voice tracks that we pulled from the CW from 20 years ago.
Exactly, the CW. Exactly.
That's just the network that these like syndicated shows air on.
Yes.
WCIU, and there's, CW.
And there's actually a reason for that, and there's a history of it, too, that goes all the way back to like in Living Color on Fox, where a lot of these networks will use black shows to build their network and then throw the black shows away once they generate an audience. If you look at the history of Fox, like when Fox launched as a network, that's what they did.
See, this just got interesting.
If you look at how the CW built itself.
Damn it, I'm going to learn something.
It built itself on black shows. And then they were like, oh, well, why don't we move to the Dawson Creek?
So it's the gentrification of these networks?
Yeah.
I'm always willing to learn.
There have been multiple studies. God. Podcast about this phenomenon.
That's crazy. That sounds like the Cabrini Green. It sounds like a neighborhood getting built up and then taken away.
And I'll tell you where it's happening in real time right now.
VH1. No, that's a reverse.
That's a little reverse.
Right.
But also, they also had some standardized racism in VH1 and MTV at the beginning. That was pretty awful.
I distracted the conversation.
I was never good at that in high school, standardized racism. I was not a good test taker.
I didn't
think
it was fair.
I mean, remember when David Bowie took it on?
Oh, yes.
You know, he's like, why aren't you playing Prince and Michael Jackson?
That's the best.
Oh, because, you know, people are scared of Prince.
That's why Bowie's one of many reasons.
But if I asked you which network backs Tubi, what would you say? What would you guess?
I don't even know what Tubi is.
Tubi is a network, is a streaming service.
It's a streaming service that caters to black and brown people that is owned by Fox.
Ah, so they're
maybe Jay Zawoski knows.
He does.
We'll ask him.
He does.
All right. If you're not careful, you just might learn something.
Damn
it. It just happened.
Damn it. I'm sorry.
No, that was good. It's good. I want to go down this road some more.
I didn't know any of that. That was great.
This is important.
It doesn't matter because we all know that's Montez's lead-in to CBS's The Neighborhood. That's why that show's been on forever, because of the great lead-in.
It's the truth. Uh-huh. It's the truth. Jay Zawoski is going to join us from Utah next here on The Score.
Kuryshev on the puck, feeds it over. Here's Crevier. And there's a penalty coming up. And some punches being thrown.
Oh, yeah.
And was that Bedard getting worked over in front of the net?
It sure was.
Yeah.
Oh, he took a whack from behind by Boldu.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happened. And he turned around and he said, enough of that.
Bedard started with a little shove there, a little poke there on the back. And in came Reichel, in came Kuryshev.
Crevier was right there. The fans on their feet. Everybody loving it. You got to... Got to defend yourself. You got to back it up. I mean, he's a competitive son of a gun. I mean, you're not picked number one overall. You don't just float through every league you go through and be the number one overall pick. You've got to have some that competitive zeal to your game.
Tuesday for the Hawks opener in Salt Lake City.
It's not a great start to the Blackhawks schedule. What the schedule makers have done to them?
The four games out west.
Yeah, it's not great.
But Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Calgary after Utah.
Well, luckily it's just a straight flight up, but it's still a little annoying that that's the way that the season is starting for the Blackhawks. But we get an opportunity to talk with our guy, Jay Zawoski, who is on the ground. The folks at CHGO thought it was important for him to be there. It's a historic thing, opening up of a new city in the NHL in Salt Lake City and the second season of Connor Bedard. He is on Twitch with us as well, one of our favorite people, one of the really, really good men. He's got a nice lineup going on right now on Twitch. Hi, Jay.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
We're good, man. Love that you're out there. Are you going to travel to all games all year? What's the plan here, sir?
No, we're just covering this one for the historic first game in the history of the Utah Hockey Club. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be out here. It's kind of amazing as we're covering, you know, the pregame, talking to Luke Richardson, talking to Kyle Davidson. Construction guys are rolling by with, like, they're literally putting this rink together today. When we were leaving, they were putting the ads on the boards. There's literally people with the stickers for, like, the Bud Lights and, like, the lawyer that bought space on the boards are putting them on right now. Like, it is crunch time at the Delta Center, which, by the way, I have to tell you guys, the Wi-Fi network at the Delta Center in Utah is Jordan pushed off.
No way.
Yes. Get over it. And they also have the tribute to losing statues of John Stockton and Karl Malone outside the Delta Center as well. So it's like, come on.
It became personal with me.
That's my favorite thing when a franchise celebrates how close they got because that's all they have. It's so sad and pathetic at the same time.
That's really hilarious that is the thing. I for those who are like, wait a minute, that used to be the Yotes, right? The Phoenix Coyotes. Can you whiteboard this, Jay, for how they ended up in Salt Lake City?
So, boy, it is a long story.
Well, then,
so,
yeah, make it short.
I'll give you the short version. The most recent Coyotes owner, Alex Marullo, was basically just a con man. They had a couple land auctions. They were trying to get some space in the area to build an arena that was voted against, and then it just fell apart. And the league said, look, we can't have you playing 3 more years in a college hockey arena with 5,000, 6,000 seats without an end in sight or any sort of solution to your arena problem. So we have to move you. So Utah stepped up and they're getting it done. They've got a game there tonight. The arena looks great. I think there's a certain percentage of the fans won't be able to see the entire ice surface because of the way the Delta Center is built. It is very vertical. And what I learned today was that many states would not allow a building like the Delta Center to be built because it is so steep, because it is so vertical. But they're sort of grandfathered in legally. So there's people at the ends up high will basically not be able to see half of the offensive zone that their team is in. So that it'll be interesting.
Wow. Little nugget for you, Jay. This is the fifth franchise that the Blackhawks have played the inaugural, not first annual, the inaugural game with Columbus, Florida, Tampa Bay, and Edmonton all the way back in 79. The logo for the Utah Hockey Club is a rink with the word Utah in the middle of it, which is amazing. And we were guessing, are the players going to actually just be the players from the old Nintendo hockey, like two fat guys and a normie and two little guys are going to come out? Can you confirm, sir?
Yes, just very generic hockey players. It was hard to tell it today, by the way, because NHL teams in their secrecy take names and numbers off the practice jerseys so other teams can't see who it is despite the number being on the back of the helmet and everybody knowing what everybody looks like. But yeah, it was a little bit anonymous today. It sounds like they're going to be the Yeti starting next year, or Yetis. I don't know if they're going to go plural on it, but that seems to be the way things are trending.
Jay, what type of feedback have you gotten from Blackhawks fans on the change from NBC Sports Chicago to CHSN?
Well, because our call letters are CHGO, we're getting a lot of people who think we're the ones who are denying their access to the game, which has been super fun. So anytime we tweet from CHGO Blackhawks, people are like, I wish I could watch the game, you jerks. Like, we are not CHSN. We have been in business for 3 years. They are just starting. It's not us. But no, people are pissed. And look, I get it. I had to go out and buy a $40 antenna so we can watch games at the CHGO studios. I had to get one for my dad so he can watch games. The target is the 11th. That's the first Hawks regular season game that CHSN will be carrying. So if they don't get a deal done with Xfinity by then, they're going to have some very, very, very upset people. And rightfully so. Look, I understand these things are complicated. I understand these things are not ideal. I understand it's happening quickly. But we've known NBC Sports Chicago would be closing for a long time. And if they're not available to the vast majority of Chicagoans by the 11th, I think that's a huge whiff. I understand it. I get that it's complicated. I get there's a lot of moving parts to it, but get it done, find a way, make it work. And if you do, then I think most people will forgive and forget eventually. Now, the cord cutters who are YouTube TV people and Hulu people or whatever, they're going to have to find a new way. But Marquee has never been on YouTube TV. I think it was on Hulu for a little bit and then it was removed. So this is part of where we're at with regional sports networks. The providers are not interested. It doesn't make them enough money. So you got to negotiate and do the best you can to get in front of as many fans as you can.
He's our guy, Jay Zawoski from CHGO and a longtime former colleague here at The Score. So the Blackhawks brought in a whole bunch of new people who've played a combined almost 5,000 games, have won a collective 8 Stanley Cups, among them Teuvo Teravainen coming back. That's pretty neat. First time he'll be a Blackhawk since 2016. Is he going to play with Connor Bedard? That would be kind of exciting to think about their skill sets together.
That's the plan. He is on Connor Bedard's line tonight with Ilya Mikheyev, another off-season acquisition. But Teuvo is a different guy than he was when he was in Chicago. He is an excellent two-way player, very smart defensively, but can score too. So it's going to be nice for Bedard to finally have someone on his wing that is a legitimate top-line proven NHL scorer like Teuvo Teravainen. Now, he's not Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or anything, but in terms of available free agents this summer, the Hawks got a bunch of them. It was not only Teravainen, it was Tyler Bertuzzi, who was a big one. Alec Martinez is pretty good, big signing on the blue line. Pat Maroon brings in 3 Stanley Cups of his own. They brought in a lot of experience, a lot of, what would you say, fire and passion, I think, is something that seemed to be a theme at the end of last year that was missing. Nick Foligno said so. Seth Jones said so. Luke Richardson sort of said so. So when you see the guys that didn't come back and the guys that were added this summer, it's all pointing to that. We need guys who are committed. We need guys who are willing to play any role we ask them to do. Teuvo is going to be in the top 6, but they brought in a lot of depth on the bottom 6 as well. So they're going to be better. They're going to be more competitive. They're going to be in games every night. That said, they're probably still going to finish with a bottom 5 record this year, which is fine because you have a more entertaining season and you still get a great draft pick. That's the plan.
Watch Jay Zawoski's coverage on CHGO. Stop blaming him on why you can't watch the Blackhawks. He's a good man and it's not his fault. Jay, have a wonderful time tonight and being there at a really special, cool moment.
Thank you. And I want to do a quick plug. We will be the only Chicago postgame show in town tonight. So after you watch the Hawks game on ESPN, turn over to the CHGO YouTube page and we will be there as soon as the game ends.
Looking good. Sounding good. Thank you, Jay.
All right, buddies. Love you.
That is Jay Zawoski of CHGO. They're doing really great stuff over there on all of their platforms. So shout out to all those guys that are making it work.
Yeti. I like the Yeti.
I like Yeti singular. I actually really like that. I think Utah that works Yeti. Better.
Sounds good. It flows.
You could have a lot of fun with that. We need to take a timeout. There was something interesting that happened during the Monday night game last night that we think that we should make you aware of in case you weren't aware of it. Stick around. That's next here on The Score.
There's Kelce. Makes a move, and he's out of bounds. He has such a great feel for space, and there's that kind of connection he has with Mahomes. It's so unique.
Well, where he's so good is Alante Taylor. I talked about him earlier and how good he is, that the missus likes it.
You know they're not married.
Oh, I know.
What is it with ex-Cowboy quarterbacks?
I'm sure I'm in trouble for saying that.
I know. It's do not. I mean, it happens. My daughters have warned me multiple times today. Dad, I know you think you're funny. Don't make any jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's right down there.
They're such good friends, Joe and Troy. Like, really close, deep-seated friends who, like, are thrilled to have made the move to Espen together, working on Monday Night Football together. I you can hear their chemistry these days, if you ask me.
I agree. It's a fun broadcast.
Yeah.
I think I've come, like, all the way around on Joe, where I did understand why people would get frustrated. And then you're like, he doesn't even take himself that seriously. You should stop taking him that seriously. And I'm like, I really appreciate that he doesn't take himself so seriously.
Oh, God, he really doesn't, man. Called his book Lucky Bastard and told all the horror stories in there about, yes, like getting the hair plugs so many times that it eventually screwed up his vocal cords. Dude is shameless about what he's willing to talk about and share, and it's endearing.
I would say that you could read the book for sure, and I highly recommend it. The Stern interview with Joe Buck is amazing. Amazing. And it was one of those moments where, like, man, I really like this guy.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I've done a bunch with him that I know of.
I didn't like those interviews.
I understand. Well, you weren't on them, so that's probably why.
It's true. That's why.
I totally understand. I missed this live. You loved how this played out live. With the fat guy interception and what came before it, right?
Yeah, but let's listen to the Harlan call of the interception, because Harlan is my favorite, and this is awesome.
Here we go, second down and goal. Mahomes in the gun, the two in New Orleans. P. Ryan in motion. There's the shotgun snap, the fake handoff, the quick throw at the goal line is deflected, and it's intercepted on the play by Saunders. He runs the big man, the 10, near sideline 20, on the near sideline 30, got a blocking from behind. The former Chief is taken down. The Saints big man got it on the ricochet at the goal line on a pass intended for Smith-Schuster. That was a thick pick.
A thick pick.
How great is he, man?
Don't text those. Do not text anyone a thick pic.
I mean, if that person...
even if they ask for it.
If you're okay with your data being out there and that person is okay with you sending it,
don't do what you like. Don't do it.
That was a thick pic.
I mean, it was.
It's also a tremendous series of Grateful Dead bootlegs.
Two C's.
Thick pics.
Two C's. So, Mr. Saunders has...
showed up a little thick in a good way.
Has a connection with Taylor Swift. And the thing is that your guys called out the connection.
Uh-huh.
And then the interception happened.
Colin Saunders' brother Cameron, who went to UMKC, Missouri, Kansas City, is a backup dancer for Taylor Swift on the Eras Tour. Colin was asked, who is Cameron rooting for? He said, that's his boss. I'm his brother. I was here first. And Colin just delivered that hit on Travis Kelce.
So he really didn't answer it, you know?
I mean, he just delivered a hit on Travis Kelce, his brother's boss.
That's right.
By his own words.
Yes.
There's Cameron. Second and goal.
It's just all one big family here at Arrowhead tonight.
Sure is. Smith-Schuster, and there he is, Colin Saunders.
And he took it out.
Big Colin rumbling, and out across the 35. And his brother Cameron's got to be pumped. He made the hit on Kelce. And then on the ball, out of the arms of Smith-Schuster.
Normally you would say go down. Right there, go down. You get the ball out on the 20.
No, he says no way.
No, no.
A return of 37 yards.
And he's got some wheel.
He does. Boy, that could be a game-changing play. That changes the complexion of everything. What a play, Colin Saunders' first career pick.
That's
highlight
so cool.
Courtesy of ESPN. So the other cool part of that is that when they came back on the replay, they have video of Taylor, Tay-Tay, saying to everyone in the box, that's my backup dancer's brother.
I know him.
How wild is that?
That's really wild.
And I'm sitting there watching all this play out in real time. I'm like, this is awesome.
That's really cool. And the fact that it happened back to back like that's great TV. I texted our friend Joe Buck, friend of the show, and said, that was amazing TV. The first thing I said was, Big Colin rumbling, because that's fun. But then said that was great TV. He said, sometimes you get lucky. Then I told him, so sometimes you get lucky. I said, we're going to play this on the show today. the great TV backstory and the highlight. Anything else you could tell us about it? And he said, I, too, was a backup dancer for Taylor Swift, but not on the Eras tour, on the tour before that. And I said, did you wear pasties? And he said, not then, but I do now.
Okay.
Said, just said Joe.
So okay.
We can add that to the context of the thing.
It was going so good until the end. It's brilliantly done. And then it just devolved into absolute garbage.
Oh, God. That's when Tanny played that is a disgusting act. Highlight at the end of a Joe Buck.
Well, because we know he hates it. So yes. It was like, here's the best of Joe Buck with his greatest calls ever.
Yes.
And then for no reason, Randy Moss at the end.
Wasn't there like an accident too with Michelle? Wasn't there a whole thing that went on?
Yeah.
Were they out shooting or shooting a puck or something?
There was they were doing like a golf stunt.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Broke her ankle with a golf ball.
It's crazy. Now, she could have been a backup dancer for Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Skills, man.
I didn't know that.
Skills. Absolute skills. So, yeah, that whole thing was wild. I'm glad that we got a chance to enjoy that.
I didn't see the Taylor moment where she's telling everybody, I know him. That's cool.
Yeah. He's my backup dancer's brother.
Oh, that's fun.
That's super cool. We need to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the special. Spiegs has got some special, Caleb, that you need to recognize. You better recognize next here on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.